Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
He's deposited great things in you, and many of you have seen inklings of it coming up. But God wants to unleash even more to show you that He has much greater things for you to accomplish. This Bible that we have today, anybody have a Bible? Raise it up. Let me see it. This Bible is packed with stories about people that were victorious over seemingly impossible situations. It contains a parade of miracles from creation of life to the resurrection of Jesus and through the early church. It is filled with supernatural demonstrations of the unlimited dynamic power of our God at work throughout time. And it also reveals the unlimited potential of everyone that will put their trust in Him and take Him at His word. Amen. Give the Lord a shout this morning if you're ready to receive that. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. All of the powerful stories in the Bible were recorded so that you would know that nothing is impossible with God. And when you're with God, nothing's impossible for you. Amen. Amen? What does Jesus say? If you can believe, all things are possible. Yes. Knowing what God has done in the past will build our faith to create your world and walk in it today. That's our theme for this year, create your world and walk in it. So God wants to show us and give us insights and principles so that we can create our world, the world that He's designed for us to live in, and walk in it and see it manifested in our life. Amen? Amen. The night before Jesus was crucified, He gave a powerful promise to everyone that would believe in Him. I'm going to read this in John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this means I really mean this. Verily, verily, we don't use that verily, verily, but I'm telling you the truth right now. Yes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Say also.
Also.
And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So God is and Jesus are there waiting for you to step up and do those greater works because they have empowered you. Amen. Point number one. Jesus gave all believers unlimited potential to do the works that He did on earth. Jesus gave all believers. Are you a believer in the house?
Yes.
Raise your hands if you're a believer. Well, this promise is for you. Jesus gave all believers unlimited potential to do the works that He did on earth. See, Jesus wants you to discover this unlimited potential that He gave to you the moment that you believed in Him. See, the disciples knew what works Jesus was talking about when He made this powerful promise. They had walked with Him. They had seen Him lay hands on the sick. They'd seen Him speak to that person that was blind. They saw Him tell the paralyzed man that was brought in by four crazy friends to get up and go. They saw Him do so many, many things, great works. They knew what He was talking about. This word, they knew that He was talking about when He made that powerful statement. And this word works often refers to miracles or healings, signs, wonders, and mighty acts of power. Instead of using the word works, the Amplified Classic used the word things. If you have that translation, it may be what you saw. And the Passion Translation uses the word miracles. But the disciples saw Jesus do many miraculous things, many great works, for about 3 years. And the Gospels record the details of 37 miracles that Jesus did while He was with them. I know He did much more than that. The Bible talks about, and I think it's in the Gospel of John, how if all the books in the world could not contain all the things that He did. But God selectively chose certain things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to record so we would see that we serve a miraculous God. And He has empowered His people to walk in this same realm as well. We're not subject to the same things we were before we knew Jesus. Everything changed the moment that you accepted Jesus into your life. You became a new creation. Amen. Created in God's image and His likeness to walk in the power and the blessing of God. Amen. Amen. So disciples saw Him do many, many things. These miracles were so spectacular, these works of Jesus. I've heard it said that miracles are like a dinner bell. When you ring it, people run to the table. They're ready for the miraculous. This whole world is ready for the miraculous. They are hungry for it. And this is something that God put within us because we serve a miraculous God. We should be walking in the miraculous. We should be experiencing miraculous things every single day. So often we overlook some things that seems insignificant, but it, no matter how big or how small, God does miracles for us and great works for us every single day. Just your salvation, the new birth is a miracle in itself. So we've already, those of us that are born again, have already tasted of the miraculous power of God to transform a life. Somebody who didn't think about Him before, then all of a sudden that's all you're doing is thinking about Jesus and what He means and His impact that He has had on your life. Amen? Amen. The Hayford Bible Handbook's definition of miracle is historic events or natural phenomenon which appear to violate or transcend natural laws, but which reveal God to the eye of faith at the same time. So this is a miracle. We all probably understand what a miracle is. That's just what the Jack Hayford's Bible Handbook. He's a great Bible teacher. He's in heaven today. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start with the first miracle. You know, I would love it if the Lord would let me to just do a whole series on the miracles of the Bible. Not just say the miracles of Jesus, because we know those are great, but there are miracles that the disciples did. There were miracles that happened before Jesus ever came on the scene as a baby. His miraculous birth, of course. But we'll let God handle that part. But this is the record of the first miracle, and it was the miracle of creation. Chapter 1 in Genesis. We're going to read in just a few verses there in a minute. And there are 10 times in this first chapter of Genesis we read that God said. Each time God spoke, He created something that had never existed in the world. He created everything in the world by speaking words, including you, including mankind, including us. Amen? Amen. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Beginning in there, we're just going to read through verse 28. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them." Only two genders. We have to always, it seems crazy that we have to always reaffirm that. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." He covered it all. Amen. Point number two, it says God said what He wanted to create, and He blessed His creation so they could do what He commanded them to do. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. God made it clear right from the beginning what He expected of us. Amen. So we know that God's blessing on mankind was lost when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, but Jesus came to pay the price for our sin when He died on the cross. So everyone that believes on Jesus receives God's blessing to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Isn't that the truth? That's what belongs to us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. See, God said what He wanted, and He created us and He blessed us so that we can do what He commanded us to do. I love the fact that God just didn't tell us to do something that was impossible to do. He would not do that. He's not a hard God. He just loves to help us to achieve what He's called us to achieve. See, the book of Acts is a pivotal book in the New Testament. It traces the expansion of the early church and provides a background for all of the epistles, which we've been studying a lot of those in the Wednesday night services. And it gives us the basic history of the spread of Christianity during the three decades immediately following the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, 120 men and women were all baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. We read this in the book of Acts. I find it significant that there only was 120 that gathered in that upper room, because just the instructions to go and wait and tarry for that Jesus gave before he ascended was spoken to at least 500 people. The Bible tells us there were about 500 that saw him go up. So there were only about 120, well, not about, there were 120 that was in that upper room, including Mary, Jesus's mother. So there were many that were there, so that tells me that whenever the word is spoken, see that 100 out of 500, if you only get 120, that's about 25%. So at any time when you speak the word, sometimes you only can get about a quarter of the people, 25% of the people they may have heard it, they may have all heard it, but only 25% will probably obey it. So God just still throws that word out there. I'm still throwing that word out there. And we have to be part of the ones who receive it and believe it. Amen? So on the day of Pentecost, 120 men and women were all baptized because they went. Because they not only heard the instructions of Jesus, they obeyed it. And they went there and they tarried and they waited until they didn't know what they were waiting for. They just knew he said to go. Sometimes you don't know what God's, ramifications or the result of it, but you just have to take a step at a time and do what God is telling you to do. Amen? And then you look back years later maybe and you see that, oh yeah, this is why he wanted me to do that or say this or do that thing. Amen? So people from 16 different nations that day heard them speaking about the wonderful works of God in their own language. I don't know how that happened. I don't know. Some people have said it was a miracle in the hearing, but he said they spoke in other languages. So those 120, some of them were maybe in unison speaking to one language group. And then maybe another five or six were preaching to another group. Out of the whole 16, all of them heard them declare the wonderful works of God. That was why they were there. They were there to preach the gospel and they didn't even know what they were saying. They were saying it in another whole language. That is hard to understand to our minds, but this is what the Word of God says. At the same thing, you know what happened at the Tower of Babel that messed up all of creation and sent them going in different ways? God brought the language, the speech together on the day of Pentecost to unite his people once again. So don't let the devil or anybody else tell you that those tongues are not important and they're not for today. It was part of God's plan to unite his people in one language, the language of heaven, and able to speak languages that others can hear the good news about the wonderful works of God. Give the Lord a shout this morning. God began his church with a demonstration of his power, and about 3,000 people were born again in one day. This is how the early church was equipped by God to do the works of Jesus and even greater. Amen. That was just the beginning. Because those 3,000, when they left the city of Jerusalem, because they had gathered there for the festival of Pentecost, when they went back to their hometowns, they were speaking in tongues, they were declaring the wonderful words of God themselves, all 3,000 of them. Yes. Amen? They discovered the unlimited potential that had been deposited in them by the Holy Ghost. God has deposited some things in you too. He's deposited great things in you. And many of you have seen inklings of it coming up. But God wants to unleash even more to show you that he has much greater things for you to accomplish. There are anointings that are residing in you that need to come up. There are anointings of courage. There are anointings of wisdom. There are anointings of supernatural favor on you that God wants to unleash in you and pull out of you so that you can walk in those places that he has destined you and created you to walk in. Amen?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. You know, immediately after the Spirit's outpouring at Pentecost, many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. And a glorious explosion of divine power energized a group of ordinary men and women to carry out a God-sized mission using supernatural abilities. And all of you in here today have that same potential. All of you. Those weren't special, unique people. Those were people with, like the Bible says, like passions like we have. We all know how Peter messed up 3 times in front of everybody. He blew it big time, but God still used him. You could still come back and God can be glorified by your life. Amen?
Amen.
So in the previous chapter, chapter 2, verse 43, we're told that many wonders and signs were done by the hands of the apostles. And many miracles which were performed out of all of those miracles at that day, Luke gives us, or throughout the life of the disciples, Luke gives us a detailed account of one of them in chapter 3. I want us to focus on this one this morning. It's a little bit of reading, but it's important for you to review this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Are y'all there?
Yes.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He was trying to create his world right there, right? A different world that was free from pain, that was free from sickness, free from poverty. Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, that lame man, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Praise God. So his manifestation not just affected his life, but it affected everybody that was in the temple that day. See, this miraculous healing of a man that had been crippled from birth filled everyone with wonder and amazement. Your life can fill someone else with wonder and amazement. No matter how small you think your life is, God always has someone that's watching you that can be encouraged and lifted up to realize that God does have an answer for their life as well. Amen. This man was well known by everyone in Jerusalem. Verse 22 of the next chapter tells us that he was 40 years old. So this man was hopeless, helpless, and dependent upon others to carry him every day to that beautiful gate to beg. He was dependent on everyone. Josephus wrote that this gate entrance into the temple was 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. It was made of Corinthian bronze with thick plates of silver and gold on its panels. This massive, beautiful gate was a favored entrance, so the beggar was placed where he could be seen by the most people. See, at that strategic moment, Peter was led by the Holy Spirit to do the works that Jesus had told him to do. That lame man asked for money, but Peter gave him something much better, the use of his legs. And this man that had never walked, but at once his feet and ankle bones became strong and steady. And he began leaping and praising God. When you encounter God, you're going to be doing some serious leaping and praising God. Especially if you couldn't walk before like this guy. He didn't care who was around. It just spontaneously came up out of his spirit. He started giving glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
See, Peter had unleashed the creative power of words to do the works of Jesus. Verse 6 tells us that he said, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He had the power to use the name of Jesus. This is the first definite exercise of the Christian's power of attorney recorded in the Bible. It is not the 9 times in 8 verses in the 3rd and 4th chapters of this book of Acts, the word name or the phrase "in the name of" is used to refer to the authority by which a thing is done. So these, Peter understood what he was called to do. And he stepped up that. Peter, who had denied Christ, had discovered the unlimited potential that was in him as a believer. Talk about a total turnaround of a life. Amen?
Amen?
He exercised his authority to use the name of Jesus, and the cure was instant, and it was undeniable. Peter did that. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verse 16. This was his answer to those who approached him and said, "How'd you do that? How'd you do that?" He says, "In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." This man had achieved perfect soundness, not just in his physical body, but his whole life was transformed. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Peter used this opportunity to preach the gospel message, and many people believed on Jesus Christ because of it. Let's look at the fourth chapter of Acts for a moment. See, the high priest and the military commander of the temple arrested Peter and John and questioned them about this miracle. Remember, this was the same group that had Jesus arrested and crucified. So this was a different Peter, not the one that was hiding when Jesus was being tortured. This was a different one. He went right up to him. And verse 7 begins, let's start reading in Acts chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined by the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.'" Amen. He's setting the record straight. Amen?
Amen.
Point number 3, the name of Jesus imparts unlimited potential for all believers to boldly proclaim the truth about Jesus and do the works that Jesus did.
We have a life-changing partner offer for you entitled, "God is Faithful, Why Aren't You?" That may sound a little hard, but the truth is so many people judge God's faithfulness by their own. Listen, Jesus always does what he says, and we should too. This message will challenge you and transform every area of your life. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org and get your copy today. Do it.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Let's praise God together over the miracles that he's doing in people's lives. You know, these glorious moments are proof that he is a merciful God, and he wants to show himself strong in our lives. So be encouraged as I share these testimonies, and know that he wants to move in your life too. And when he does, we want to hear about it. And now today, our first testimony says, "I gave my life to Jesus after watching Jesse's Heaven, Close Encounter of the God Kind message 10 years ago. I was radically changed, and now I share the gospel wherever I go. Thank you for your love and service to the Lord, Brother Jesse. And thank you, JDM, for uploading this video onto YouTube. It's such a gift for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus." I love that. You know, God is so good, and it's an honor to minister the gospel through the many outreaches that we've been blessed with. This next one says, "I love being a partner with you because you pray for your partners. There's been times when the Lord's placed something on my heart, and then you preach about it in your boardroom chat, Faith the Facts, etc. That shows me that we're hooked up together. May you continue to do all things through Christ that he has placed on your heart for this year." Amen to that. What a blessing. This last one says, "Dear Jesse, I've been giving to your ministry and watching you since I was 24. Now I am 53. 3 years ago, I watched your teachings about the hundredfold, and God gave me a side job, and I started sowing 100% of it, believing to get a new home debt-free. God took us out of debt in less than 3 years. Praise God, and thank you for the teaching. God bless you. I'm so blessed by you and your beautiful wife. I love you both."
Thank you. I love you. God is so good. And I'm so thankful for all the things that God is doing, all the people that He's reaching every single day through this ministry. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Do you know that every born-again believer has a God-given right to receive overwhelming blessings from God? In my book, Overwhelmed, you'll be challenged to say no to limited thinking by understanding all that belongs to you.
It's your birthright to experience overwhelming favor in every area of your life. Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation of $5 or more at JDM.org.
It's time to be overwhelmed in a good way by God's power. Get your copy and be blessed. I believe Kathy's message imparted a new boldness in you today. Remember, God's unlimited ability gives you unlimited potential. Don't limit a God that's unlimited. And you ready for this? Don't limit yourself because you're unlimited. You can do the same things Jesus did. He said you can do greater works than Him if you want. All you got to do is ask anything in my name and I will do it. That's the greater works, brother. It's such a blessing. Listen, you need to go to our free JDM app. It's free. And watch that entire sermon. It will bless you. You can also find many other sermons by Kathy and also by me. I hope you do that. Our new product on. I love my new book, Overwhelmed. You know, I used to use the word blessing a lot. It's not big enough. I said, Lord, I got to get a bigger word, Overwhelmed. We decided to write a book on it. Overwhelmed. You know, God's promises you an abundant, overwhelming life in Christ. I encourage you to get a copy of this book. It will open your eyes and heart to the blessing God has for you. How do I get it? Go to JDM.org for all the details, okay? And you'll be blessed. Partners, thank you. You have overwhelmed me with your faithful financial support. I'm telling you this, 49 years of preaching this gospel and not having a financial deficit, that is unheard of. Most ministers can never say that. I'm not bragging about it. You did it. I thank you for your faithful financial support. Nothing too small, nothing too big. And we got big projects. We got small projects. We work all the time. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. So do something today. And if you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. Because the anointing of increase is on me. And I'll bring some joy and I'll get you out of depression and discouragement and despondency. I know how to do that. Thank you, partner, for supporting us today. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Jesse the Planners from New Orleans, Louisiana said, we love you. We really do. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Create your world and walk in it. See, once you understand your destiny, your destination, and all the things that go with it, it is no problem. You can, I can, we can, because He can. And you'll walk here just like as if you'd be in heaven.
Holiness affects duty. Not my will, but thine be done. You hear Jesus saying that all the time. I came that you might know the Father. He had a duty to be holy. And yet He was tempted in all mannerisms as we were. Now you think about that. See, a lot of people just read that. Do you understand what that means? That means that Jesus was tempted to sin.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to JDM.org.